Hello and welcome to the Fast Slap Podcast, helping you to stay up to date with the fast-moving world of Formula One. Today we're talking about change. Change in driver safety, change in names, and change in the F1 calendar. My name is Jan, and as ever, I'm with Fergal. Hello and welcome everyone. Don't worry about our title, the Fastest Lap Podcast will keep its name. On the other hand, however, McLaren decided to change the name of the McLaren cars from MP4 to MCL, breaking a long tradition actually. How do you feel about that, Fergal?
Well, to be honest, I'm not really surprised. When Ron Dennis was ousted at McLaren, there was rumors that it was going to be a change in the name. And, you know, some people might think that, you know, the car name isn't really a big deal. But I think for McLaren, I mean, you look at all the success McLaren has had. I mean, for example, the MP4-4 is considered like the greatest Formula One car of all time by many. So, yeah, I guess it is a sad occasion, I guess, to see it go. But it was really a Ron Dennis sort of introduction. So, yeah, it's definitely an old change for McLaren now that they've gone for the, MCL.
Yeah, and it's going to be called MCL 32. So basically, yeah, if you look back for 31 years and 31 cars, they actually used the MP4 name basically, and I think it means like McLaren Project for Racing or something. Is that correct?
No, it actually stands for Marlboro Project 4. Marlboro obviously being the cigarette company that was so iconic on the McLaren cars back as a sponsor back in the day. And that was the title sponsor for McLaren. And the P is called Project. It's Project 4, obviously with the number 4 again after that, because Ron Dennis had a Formula 2 team called Project 4 Racing. And then when he became when he joined McLaren, he merged his team with it, and so all the car names became MP4 dash, and then, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever, so on, so on. So yeah, Marlboro Project 4 is no more.
So also in the last few years it was called Marlboro's, even though they were not sponsoring McLaren even more.
Yeah, again, it's something, I guess, kind of strange. It's something that Ron Dennis, I think, just sort of wanted to keep. There's been some videos I've seen posted by McLaren where sometimes they refer to the car as McLaren Project 4 and other times as the Marlboro Project 4. So, but I think because of its originality being Marlboro Project 4, it's kind of just always been associated with that.
Okay, so, well, at least we've got the first bit of a car, although it's only the name of 2017. And yeah, they teasered a lot on their Twitter accounts and whatever, like the name now, and we saw a lot of flashes of orange, like, you know, like teasing. We talked about it with Sean Bull a few episodes ago. Was it last episode? Yeah, it was last episode. And yeah, actually was quite interesting to hear his opinion. If you didn't listen to that episode, it was a great interview. Go and check that out. And yeah, I would really love to see a bit of change in the McLaren livery design. And maybe with a change of name, we also get a change in the livery. Maybe that's something to look out for, right?
Yeah, they certainly have been showing hints that they've been hinting at an orange livery. McLaren, the original colours, and I guess the heritage of McLaren was orange. But again, Ron Dennis, who really just constructed and controlled McLaren throughout the past 30 or so years, he was really against an orange livery in the modern era. But of course, he is no longer there, so we could see an orange livery come in. There's been pictures of or these orange liveries all over the place. There's been that change your game thingy with the orange outline of a car. Stoffel Van Dorn has hinted on about orange in the in a lot of tweets he's put out, and I don't want to read too much into this, but one thing I've seen was in the announcement that McLaren, maybe you've seen this, I'm not too sure, but in the announcement that McLaren made for their new car name, the color was blue, which
Yeah, exactly.
the font was blue, which sort of confused people. But then people started to realize that when you put that color in, like, you know, the negative camera, I guess, shade, or it goes to orange. So you know, maybe that's reading too much into it, but certainly a lot of people are hoping for an orange McLaren next year.
I think actually that's a great theory, actually. I mean, people are, I'm not sure whether they are hoping for orange livery or just hoping for a different livery because, well, to be honest, it wasn't the most spectacular one they used for the last few years, even going back, like, I don't know, when was the last great McLaren livery? Maybe in the times of, well, I don't know, David Coulthard's times where he was there, or I'm not sure. What would you say?
Well, personally, I really like the 2005 livery with when Kimi Raikkonen and Juan Pablo Montoya drove for the team. It was a silver livery, but it was sort of looked like a pre-Vodafone era for McLaren, and but I think it looked very nice. Then of course they went with the Vodafone sponsored livery for a long, long time. Then in 2014 they had just another silver livery before switching to black at the with the reunion with Honda. So yeah, actually that's a good point that you made, whether people just want a different livery or an orange livery. Personally, I do think they should change up the livery. I just find the black one too boring and dull. But yeah, I think orange would be an interesting color for the grid next year, but we'll have to wait and see on that one.
Yeah, definitely agree on that. And talking about stuff that people want, and especially about stuff that people don't want, let's talk about the Halo system. And actually, I mean, a lot of people, especially in social media, are against the Halo system because, well, including me, I think it just looks hilarious. I mean, it just looks bad on those modern F1 cars. So, yeah. I mean, we got the news last week that the FIA asked the drivers and asked whether they were in favor of the Halo system, and the result was 50-50. So half of the grid is in favor of it, and half of the grid does not like the Halo system. So actually, what does that mean for the future? Will it still be considered for 2018, or will we see a different system or no system at all? What would you think?
Well, actually, what I heard was that it wasn't exactly a 50-50 scenario where it was. I think it was something like the FIA wrote to all 22 drivers, and only 16 responded. Seven. I'm not sure what the other six were doing, but yeah. Apparently, only seven of the drivers were against the Halo. Five were for it, and then four of them had no judgment. So I think at the end of the day, it was quite a useless survey. But I mean, it is quite a sensitive issue because, I mean, I'm all for driver safety. I mean, driver safety is so important, especially after what's after happening in the last couple of years. You know, with Jules Bianchi, of course, in F1, and Justin Wilson in IndyCar. So, yeah, driver safety is always pretty much top of the list when it comes to dealings in F1. And it's great that the FIA are taking it seriously, because I mean, if you look at the 70s, the 80s, those periods, you know, even before that, it's, you know, safety. If you wanted your car to become safe, you were considered, you know, not brave enough. You were, you know, Jackie Stewart, who was one of the pioneers for introducing safety into F1, he was criticized for for making movements to promote driver safety. But now, like, if you say, "Oh, we want to make the cars less safe," like Bernie Ecclestone did, it's you know, you're shot down, and you're like, well, you know, driver safety is very, very important, and head protection, I think, seems to be the last sort of major part of protection, because at the end of the day, there's nothing stopping something coming off and hitting a driver in the head. I mean, even more recently in 2009, very luckily Felipe Massa was very lucky not to be killed. He was out for the rest of the, well, half the 2009 season. So I am all for driver safety, but it's just, it's really whether you prefer the history of Formula One to keep going or to evolve for safety. I think if they came up with a good looking concept, it would be more acceptable, because a lot of people hate the halo. They really don't like it.
Yeah, the question really is, I mean, if you look back to, or I mean, the last one we lost, of course, was Jules Bianchi, but before that was Ayrton Senna, I guess. And so we had a big period of time where, well, first of all, nothing happened and the safety improved a lot. You know, the circuits improved. We got a lot of runoff areas now. Yeah, on all circuits, basically, except for Monaco, maybe, and Singapore. So we got a lot of, yeah, we got better safety standards on the circuits. We've got cars that are incredibly safe in terms of the structure and so on. And as you said, of course, the head is the only, yeah, vulnerable thing at the moment. So the question really is, of course, we lost Jules Bianchi, but that was basically the problem there was that a digger was in the runoff area where it shouldn't have been, or when there should have been a safety car. If that wasn't the case, I mean, I would say Jules would still be alive. So I would not say, or I wouldn't even say that Halo would have saved him. So the question really is, do you want to take the one thing away really that makes Formula One unique with the open cockpit? And make it safer, that could save a life, maybe with a chance of 10% in once in like 20 years or something, and take everything, maybe yeah, at least a last bit of danger away? Or do you say, hey, come on, if you step into one of those cars, it's not like kindergarten, you know? I think that has to be discussed, and I also think that some drivers do not want to have that as another safety device on their car.
Yeah, well, I think the only time Formula One cars won't be dangerous will be when there is nobody and when there are driverless cars.
Yeah.
You know, there's always going to be danger, and
Exactly.
you know, I think it's a really, really tough topic for me to kind of judge on, because I you know, I love open wheel racing, but you know, just thinking back to when Jules Bianchi was killed, you know, it was really, really horrible, and I just, to be honest, I wouldn't want it to happen again for it to have a definite answer on whether we should or should not introduce cockpit protection. I mean, if you look back at even Monaco in this year, in one of the practice sessions, didn't they what was it in the ground, that the manhole cover, I think it was, like, got lifted
Yeah.
up. It was lifted up by the downforce of one of the cars, I can't remember which, and it hit Jenson Button's front wing. But you know, it could have bounced up and it could have hit him in the head. You know, it's just it would really be a huge shame if we had to go through what we went through with Jules Bianchi again, just to make the point that head protection is needed in F1. I think at the end of the day, I would be down for it. I am for it. I'm not so much maybe the halo, but even if we had that for, I'm happy that it's not being introduced for 2017, because there was absolutely no testing on it. I think when they put the vote to have it, I think only like there was only three installation laps done on it, like three laps, like the no testing whatsoever. So it was, it would be very, very wrong for it to be put in for next season. But I think at the end of the day, you know, head protection will, you can be guaranteed that head protection will come into F1 within, by 2022. I think it's going to be permanent in Formula One, but it's just whether, you know, what are we going to have, what sort of device are we going to have? Are we going to have the aero screen that Red Bull produced? Are we going to have some sort of you know, plastic or something, or like this this halo system? So yeah, it's if the drivers, it really does come down to the drivers, because they're the ones that are putting themselves at risk. But if you're voting democratically and you have, you know, it's like 51-49 the ratio, you know, it's tough, but it is tough, and it's going to take a lot of thinking and focus and just doing what's right for the sport by the FIA. So it will be a real hot topic all through this year, all through next year. Next year, if it's not introduced by then. So it's going to be something to keep your eye on.
Well, if this really comes, I must say, I would prefer it if it would be, I'd prefer it if it would really be integrated in the whole design, you know, not like that halo, putting it on the normal cockpit of the car or something. But I mean, we saw some cool livery or concept car designs where it really is integrated into the car with a whole cockpit, really. So of course it will not be a single seater then, but I'd much rather have something like that that looks really good than keeping the, I don't know, open cockpit philosophy or something. I mean, if they really want to go for that, I'd be in favor for that.
Yeah, I think actually the aero screen that Red Bull tried, I think it was Russia, Russia of last year. You know, arguably, like, I think it looks fantastic on the car. You know, potentially.
Well, not fantastic, but
to be honest, in my opinion, I think it potentially looked on par with how the cars look now. I think it really suited the look of the car. You know, it wasn't fully closed over. You still had, there was still, your head was still, I guess, the top of the head was sort of exposed. But something like that, you know, the cockpit protection shouldn't be introduced just because it looks good. You know, it needs to act well as look good. Well, more than it looks good, I mean. So the halo, just say if the halo worked perfectly, it would be introduced. Simply for that reason, because it works, not because it looks good, because that's what they want to improve safety, not the way the cars look at all. So I think the aero screen though won't work, purely because of it's gonna really, really hamper the aerodynamics of the car. So I don't think that one will come into it, but maybe some teams can work something around that and come up with an evolved system of that, because a screen like that I would be down for. Like, I think it does look pretty good. You know, you just got to think about stuff like rain. What would the rain be like on it if dirt? What?
A screen wiper, maybe.
Yeah. Or like dirt or something on it, if it was dirt. That's possible, actually, a wiper. I mean, you don't expect the driver to reach out and wipe it with his hand, you know. So we'll just wait and see.
Yeah, I just brought a picture up of it on my screen here, and you are right, it doesn't look too bad, but I would still say that the normal car looks way better. But I think we really need to wait what the teams, the drivers, the FIA and all other parties that are involved will decide in the end, and we'll basically have to live with it, I would say. Something we have to live with as well is the calendar for 2017, and sadly we had some dropouts there, and noticeably Germany, of course, and also the British GP is a little bit on the cask. We hadn't any recent news really about that. But yeah, going a little bit through the calendar, of course, it starts with the Australian GP. Then they decided to put the Chinese GP in position 2 compared to the Bahrain GP last season. Do you know the reason behind that?
To be honest, I don't. I doubt it's for just the sake of change. Maybe there's something in the contract, but I think, you know, it's still at the start of the season, so it's not really a major change.
Yeah, not really. And after that, there isn't much change either. You know, they're following Russia, Spain, Monaco, Canada, Azerbaijan, Austria, of course, the British GP. Well, we'll see whether that actually goes ahead. I would think it will.
Yeah, what do you think? In 2017?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely going to go. The British Grand Prix will definitely be held up to 2019. The track owners have said that if they are going to break their contract, it's going to be after 2019. So we will have a British Grand Prix for the next 3 years. Well, I hope to God that it goes ahead this year, because I bought my ticket for it. So we definitely have one after 2019. But I think the takeover by Liberty Media has promoted positive feelings towards the Grand Prix, so the future of the race is definitely looking a lot brighter over Liberty Media's reign than it was over with Bernie Ecclestone's. So hopefully, you know, it's the Silverstone, you know, hosted the first ever World Championship race, so it needs to stay in the calendar.
Yeah, I would guess so. That circuit owners must be delighted with the Liberty Media takeover, because I think one of the sentences of the Liberty Media boss was something like, "Yeah, we actually need to reduce the cost for the tracks to make ticket prices cheaper," or something. So that must be something they must have laughed to hear.
Yeah, actually, I read something during the week that I already knew that Britain, the British Grand Prix at Silverstone, was in danger because of the prices and the funds, that they weren't getting enough. And actually, there's rumors going around that potentially the track will have to rename some of its corners to get more funds in. So that could happen. You know, I mean, how much would you pay to have your surname at a at Silverstone, or even your first name? You know, that'd be good to hear on TV. But
the fastest lap podcast corner.
Yeah, yeah.
We should start saving.
Yeah, we should. We might be a while at that, but maybe we should set up a crowdfunder and people can donate. Silverstone, you know, such an iconic track for not only Britain but for Formula One as a whole, and I really hope it does stay on the calendar.
Yeah, I would so as well, really. And following Silverstone, of course, the Hungarian Grand Prix comes up. Then, of course, a bit of a break, a bit of a very long break, like really a month, basically. Yeah. The summer break, no German GP, of course. Not too great to have no GP in Germany, as there is a multiple world champion with Vettel, a winning German team. But yeah, ultimately, I think German people do have better things to do than attending races.
It seems so. I mean, you look back in the glory days of Michael Schumacher. You know, the German Grand Prix was so popular. You know, there was two races at Germany. There was I think. There was Nürburgring had the European GP, Grand Prix.
Yeah.
And then Hockenheim had the German Grand Prix. And I think ever since Schumacher retired, it sort of lost its glamour. Sebastian Vettel hasn't really, or Nico Rosberg, haven't really received the, you know, the grace that Schumacher had. Which is a shame, to be honest, because It's almost like they watched, well, they probably did only watch Formula One for Michael Schumacher, but you know, when Schumacher retired, you had Sebastian Vettel come in, who has done wonders in Formula One, and it really is a shame to see that the majority of German fans haven't really got behind them and supported them like they did with Schumacher. Maybe it was because, you know, they kind of got tired of supporting Schumacher. Maybe they thought that supporting a fan like that, or maybe they thought that Vettel just simply wasn't near as good enough as Schumacher was to deserve the praise. Maybe you as a German could could verify.
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, of course, looking back to the Schumacher times, I mean, that was incredible. I mean, you can see some qualifying laps or something on YouTube, you know, where you can, it was so awesome to look at it now even. I mean, there was really a red wall in the stadium section, you know, everybody dressed in red with red caps and all those horns, you know, supporting Schumacher. I mean, that was really awesome with the V10 engine sounds. I mean, just looking at it gives me goosebumps sometimes. It's really something we haven't seen since then. I mean, I think Vettel was quite popular in his Red Bull days, really, where he won a lot of GPs, but I really can't tell why people are not really attending races. I mean, of course, prices at Hockenheim were very high for weekends. I mean, maybe German people are or like to save money a bit more than other people, so they think don't want to spend €400 or something, or 300 whatever, for Formula One weekend. I want to save it. I'm not sure, you know. In my view, it's a bit sad that there's no German GP, but all in all, I would say I can live with it, because thinking about the times I was there, if you look Formula One on the television, you get much more information. You can look into all corners, you can see all the action, and if you're on track, you just see one corner. If something happens there, it's good. If nothing happens, well, you missed the whole race. Of course, there are those video walls, but you know, that's one thing where they may be a bit of, or maybe Formula One lacks a bit of entertainment for fans in general. What would you say?
Yeah, maybe. I think the German Grand Prix will be back for 2018, I think, to live out its the last year in its contract, because of course the German Grand Prix contract was that, you know, it would go Hockenheim 1 year, Nürburgring next year, Hockenheim yeah. next year, and so on. And then when Nürburgring dropped his contract after 2013, you know, we had Hockenheim in 2014, but there was no Nürburgring in 2016. So yeah, the reason there's no German Grand Prix this year is because Nürburgring doesn't have a contract. But next season, I'm pretty sure next season German Grand Prix will be back in Hockenheim for its last year of its contract. But who knows, maybe, you know, Liberty Media are in, and maybe they can sort something out. They will obviously do things differently than Bernie Ecclestone done, so hopefully they'll sort something out, because the German Grand Prix is as rich and as iconic as the British Grand Prix, so there's no reason why it shouldn't be on the calendar either.
Yeah, and a track that should definitely stay on the calendar is the Belgian GP, as I said, following after the long summer break. Then, of course, the Monza GP, also an iconic track that should stay on the calendar forever, basically. Singapore GP following, the Malaysia GP again, as last year, very late in the calendar. Then the Japanese GP in Suzuka coming up, followed by the US GP in Austin. Then again, basically the back end of the season will be the same as last season, with Mexico coming up, Brazil, and again the last race in Abu Dhabi. So 20 races in the 2017 season. I think still a lot of great tracks on the calendar. I mean, Brazil and all the historic tracks, but also some of the new tracks. I mean, Mexico delivered some good races in the first few years there, and I think there are a lot of races we can look forward to, and I hope the new Aerials will also provide us with some good racing on those tracks.
Yeah, I think I just cannot wait to watch that back the race in Baku again. You know, that was some race last year, so entertaining.
In the first moment, I was just, is he serious now? Or?
Well, do you know what? It is one thing to look forward to. It can't get any worse than last year. You know, yeah. you're guaranteed a better race because absolutely nothing happened last year.
and it was so strange because I watched the GP2 race and there everything was happening, you know?
It was just carnage in GP2. I remember watching it. I was actually genuinely scared to tune into Formula 1 because of the amount of... There was literally just cars turning in on each other. Like, it was just ridiculous.
The safety car restart was so ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, going into the first corner, there was just cars... It looked deliberately just swiping each other out of it. Like, it was just... I'd never seen anything... genuinely never seen anything like it before. And then when... When it came to the Formula 1 race, I really didn't know what to expect, but then kind of got a bit let down. But and it was a shame because I think the Baku track is a great track. It's very well, at least the second half of the track is challenging. You have that really tight section and there's a lot of really fast corners, and it really looked like, you know, a street circuit that could provide a lot of overtaking. And, you know, even now, I still do really, really like the track. I'd probably put it in my top five tracks on the calendar, to be honest. But it's just the race itself was very poor. So hopefully that can improve for next season. And I wonder how much that will damage the popularity of Formula 1 there. I mean, I don't know how popular Formula 1 was in Azerbaijan, but that race last year can't have done it any favours. So hopefully they'll get some sort of big crowd out for this year and hopefully keep the race going and at least give it a chance. You know, we've only seen one race there. Who knows? This race could be exciting. I'll keep my fingers crossed. So.
Yeah, with all those F1 drivers from Azerbaijan, F1 must have been very huge there, you know. But yeah, as I said, it's going to be a very interesting season and I'm really looking forward to it. I think we're both looking forward to it, and if you've got any questions or opinions on the F1 calendar, you can reach out to us on Twitter, for example. We've got a Twitter account at F1FL. No, what is it? Actually, it's
FLF1 podcast.
Yes. Okay, so FL, like fastest lap, F1 podcast, FLF1 podcast on Twitter. And of course, we've got an email if you prefer to contact us in private. So it's fastestlappodcasttogether@gmail.com. So we are really looking forward to your opinion. And also, we're looking forward to this 2017 season and also to next week's episode. So I hope we'll see you there, and until then, I just say goodbye.
Wherever you are listening, we would really appreciate your feedback by commenting or rating the podcast. Thank you very much for listening. We will be back next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.